WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The tobacco trials of the last couple of years have focused a lot on those cigarette advertisements that used to run on TV and how much responsibility the manufacturers bear for encouraging people to smoke. The funny thing is that some of the ads were controversial when they first came out, but not for health-related reasons. Our linguist Jeff Nunberg looks back to the controversies of the 1950s over the grammar of commercials.
The year was 1954. The top-rated TV show was I Love Lucy, sponsored by Philip Morris, and close behind was Your Hit Parade, sponsored by Lucky Strikes, whose Be Happy, Go Lucky jingle had won the TV Guide Commercial of the Year award. And Otto Pritchard, a Pittsburgh carpenter with lung cancer, filed the first liability suit against a tobacco company. In that year, R.J. Reynolds introduced its new brand Winston, stressing taste rather than health, unlike other filter cigarettes. They ran a singing commercial with the tagline, "Winston tastes good like a cigarette should." Like instead of as grammatical sins go, it was pretty venial, but the purist went to the mattresses over it. One critic called it belligerent illiteracy. Another suggested that the writer who came up with the ad should be jailed. The Winston people were delighted with all the free publicity. They capitalized on the controversy in a new campaign that featured the slogan, "What do you want, good grammar or good taste?" And soon after that, Tarryton got into the act with a campaign headed, "Us Tarryton smokers would rather fight than switch," and the whole dance went round again over pronouns. It was a curious episode. It certainly wasn't the first time advertisers had stooped to using popular usage to make a point. 50 years earlier, the sides of barns all over the country were plastered with endorsements for Red Man chewing tobacco by the great Philadelphia second baseman, Nap Ladjoui. "Ladjoui chews Red Man, ask him if he don't." But no critic ever deigned to notice this sort of thing until the 50s, that golden age of American paranoia, when Madison Avenue vied with Moscow as the insidious corrupter of American mores. That was when the martini-sipping ad man in the gray flannel suit became the archetype of the American smoothie, the character played by Tony Randall in Will Success Spoil Rock Hunter and by Gig Young in just about everything else. Maybe that's why the grammarian's criticisms of the advertisements echoed with charges of class treason, the sense that all those Winston copywriters were really Yaleys who knew perfectly well when to use as and when to use like. As the redoubtable Jock Barzin put it, "The language has less to fear from the crude vulgarism of the untaught than the blithe irresponsibility of the taught." In retrospect, it's all quite ironical. Those cigarette ads do indeed sound a little sinister to us now, and of course they came back to haunt the companies that produced them. But the worst thing critics could find to say about them at the time was not that they were selling cigarettes, but only that they were doing it ungrammatically. The advertisers are still playing fast and loose with the language, of course, but it's unlikely the Winston episode will ever repeat itself. In recent months, for example, the Toyota people have been running a campaign that stresses how well their products fit in with consumers' day-to-day needs. "Toyota every day" is the slogan, but the "every day" is crammed together as a single word. You'd think they'd worry it would suggest that their products are banal and ordinary. But the ad agency thought the one-word version looked zippier. And when they talked to consumer focus groups, it turned out that nobody was particularly troubled by the misspelling. People said they were used to seeing mistakes in advertising, and besides, it made the company sound folksier. Indeed, folksy is all you see in advertising nowadays. You think of those in-flight infomercials where guys in jeans and Doc Martens are touting the latest cool stuff from Hewlett-Packard and Motorola. Not long ago, in fact, Microsoft went to the ad agency that had done all those Gen X ads for Nike and asked for an ad series that would make them sound cool. It bothered some people, like LA Times columnist Gary Chapman, who took to task all those multinationals who appropriate a style and language that originates with the inner-city kids who will wind up being the losers in the information age. It was a perfect reversal of the attacks that critics had leveled at the Winston people back in the 50s. The advertisers are still taxed for their linguistic condescension, but now their crime is not the betrayal of their own class, but of the people whose language they're ripping off. Well, of course, advertisers are no less shameless now than they were back in the days of the singing commercial. What's surprising is only that people can still get indignant about it. Shocked. Shocked to find that there's advertising going on.
Jeffrey Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford University and the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center.